This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
I would recommend the set of tools that we have within our marketing tab. The older promotions around order discounts, volume price, and some others that we'll go through in detail. And also some of the guidance tools that we have around sales trends and pricing, for example, Therapeak.
They bring to me 178 million unique worldwide buyers. That's an audience that I can't find anywhere else. And the eBay buyer is a smart, savvy buyer. They know what they're looking for. They're price conscious. They know what they want.
I'm Brian Burke.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 120. Welcome back, Brian. How's your week been?
Very good. I can't believe it's already December, Griff.
That's right. It's December, and soon the month will be over.
Yes, and on to 2021.
Right. A lot of people have nothing good to say about the year 2020, but when it comes to e-commerce, I think it was a pretty good year for a lot of sellers. So, Brian, first things first, do you have any news for us this week?
Well, a little bit of news. Our first bit of news is a clarification of an email that some eBay sellers in the US may have received about the upcoming changes in the UK regarding VAT or value-added tax.
Yikes. What was this email?
Well, what it said was, starting January 1st, 2021, eBay will begin collecting and remitting value-added tax for consignments imported to the UK with a value of up to £135. eBay will charge buyers the applicable VAT amount directly and remit this sum to the UK tax authorities. US sellers who create listings on the UK or any EU site, that's European site, or who trade with UK buyers will need to provide both gross price, that is the item price including the VAT, as well as the applicable VAT rate used to calculate the gross price on all listings.
Seems straightforward enough. What's the clarification?
Because some of the US sellers received this email, there were some concerns that this new UK rule might apply to goods sold by sellers in the US to the UK.
Does it?
No, it doesn't. And we apologize for not making that clear in the email. US sellers who list on the US site don't have to take any action. Only sellers who list directly on the UK or EU sites will see the added field in the listing flow to show the gross amount. As for all other sales made by US sellers, where the goods are imported into the UK, eBay will add VAT based on the final sale amount for all shipping methods, including GSP, International Standard Delivery, and those packages that a US seller ships directly on their own.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm glad we cleared that up. Brian, what else is in the eBay news this week?
Well, it's a pretty busy time of year, so Cyber Monday, well, actually what we call Cyber 5.
What is Cyber 5?
It's the 5 days from Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, through the following Monday, which is Cyber Monday, of course.
So what do you have for us in the way of Cyber 5? I hope it's good.
It was very good for our sellers, so thank you, sellers. Just that eBay broke all sales records for the biggest Cyber 5 in the U.S. So that was Thursday, November 26th through Monday, November 3rd. Congratulations, sellers. A few other things to note. Refurbished goods are very hot, so sales of refurbished items increased 170% during Cyber 5 compared to the same period a week before. And gaming systems, of course, it's always a hot time for gaming system, but those increased 215% versus last year. And it's not just the latest generation of consoles. Sales for the new and previous generation PlayStation and Xbox consoles have spiked 460% on average since last month.
So a good way to raise some money to buy a PS5 is to sell your old PlayStation or old consoles.
Exactly. And finally, on average, 10 luxury watches and 20 pairs of sneakers sold every minute during Cyber 5. That's a lot of sneakers.
One of those minutes is sitting in my own closet right now. I've been buying a lot of sneakers.
I wish I had some luxury watches to sell.
Yeah, there's some big margins if you've got luxury watches to sell. And the shopping season isn't even over yet, so there's more to come.
Yeah, and we've traditionally seen over the years the holiday season get closer and closer to the 25th of December with carriers. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out this year as carriers have signaled to be a little cautious on those overnight deliveries the day before Christmas.
Yeah, and we've published the cutoff dates for all of the carriers on the site, so pay attention to those and they should be okay. And if they need adjustment, we'll adjust them if necessary, but we don't see that happening.
And sellers should also be aware that the information that I just shared around Cyber 5 was also posted to our seller news board. So check it out there as well.
And the holiday shopping season isn't over yet, so expect those trends to continue.
Very good.
And sellers want to be positioned and ready to meet the demand, and that's the subject of our next segment. This is the final stretch of this year's holiday selling season, and we want to make sure all sellers are well-equipped to finish the year on a high note and also be in a really strong starting position for 2021. Now, besides offering the hottest merchandise you can, it's also all about how to capitalize on deal-seeking buyers and how to move your unsold dead inventory if necessary. And using the right tools at the right time is critical. I'm here with eBay Senior Product Marketing Manager, Pedro Neto. Welcome, Pedro.
Hello. Thank you, Griff.
Thanks for joining us today. I know that as a senior product marketing manager, you have some experience with the tools we're going to talk about. What are the suite of tools that are available to sellers to help with the end of year promotions?
I would recommend the set of tools that we have within our marketing tab. The older promotions around order discounts, volume price, and some others that we'll go through in detail. And also some of the guidance tools that we have around sales trends and pricing, for example, Therapeak.
Which tools do you want to talk about first?
I think we can go through the promotional tools that our sellers can use. I will start with the order discounts. And these are really the tools that our sellers can use to set up promotions like buy one item, get a percentage free on the second item, or to offer a discount above a certain dollar transaction, or if they want to give a discount when buyers buy three or more items. All of these are examples of promotions that can be set up using order discount. And how to go about it. We can select individual listings to fit into this criteria or to select certain categories or lines of inventory that will be part of this promotion. Sellers can also select, obviously, what's the date range in which the promotion is up and running. And then finally, also add some text to identify them and some specific images to display to really catch the eye of buyers when going through those promotions.
And when you say catch the eye, if I'm a buyer and I'm exposed to a seller's order discount promotion, where do I see it and what do I see?
When you see the item in search, it essentially mentions that it's part of a promotion and it has a link to a page in which you have all the inventory that is part of that promotion. For example, in a case of order discount, and let's say it's an order discount in which you offer 10% off over $50. In that specific page, you have all the inventory that qualifies. Buyers can go select everything that applies, create a bigger basket, and get a discount associated with that. That is really also a great way to incentivize a larger basket when buyers buy from sellers in this time of the year.
Yeah, and in fact, I had just used this with a seller 2 weeks ago. They had some colognes I wanted, and there are some sale prices, and they had them extended not across all their listings, but selected items. And I was able to find two other items that I could put into the cart and purchase from them and get the entire three items discounted. It was really great.
Yeah, precisely. That's exactly the example that we are talking about in the specific case of order discount.
And it's important, I think, to keep in mind that if somebody's shopping right now, they're probably shopping for a lot of people, a lot of gifts. And if you can make it easier for them to buy from you, not only get the discount, but just make it easier all around, it's a customer you're going to tend to keep.
Yes, absolutely. Order discount really offers a variability and the option to mix and match different items and really for buyers to select different items from your store and from your inventory. But if what you sell is something in which buyers can buy in bulk or like three or four items of the very same thing because they want to offer the same gift to a bunch of different people within their circle, then this is really the right tool. Essentially, the way it works is you can decide which tiers of discounts you offer when a buyer buys two or three or four items of the very same listing. It can be that you offer a 5% discount if a buyer buys two of the same item, or you offer a 15% discount if buyers buy, let's say, five of the same item.
Yeah, and I've used this in the past as a seller with great effect. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but there was a seasonal bit of merchandise. It was a special IKEA bag that came out in June, and I bought a huge volume of them directly from IKEA, knowing they'd sell out. When I listed them back on eBay, I figured out a way to make it enticing for people to buy lots of them, if possible, not just one, not just based on price, but they were also free shipping. And I had figured that I could stuff 25 of these bags into a USPS flat rate box, and I would still be making a good profit on them. And what ended up happening, if you bought up to that amount, you were getting them for a price that was better than anyone else on eBay. It literally looked like it was just cents below everyone else. But I ended up doing well on a volume as opposed to just each item. So I wanted to get through them very quickly. And within 2 weeks, I had sold all 300 of the inventory I bought and was very pleased with the money I made. I made it fast and I made it quick, and I couldn't have done that without volume pricing discounts.
That's a great example. And I think that you touched upon a point of shipping as well. And like your example was for free shipping.
Yes.
I think that one example that is worthy mentioning is that we also have shipping discounts on the platform. This is mostly targeted at sellers that don't offer free shipping or that have paid shipping as part of an upgrade strategy for basically a faster delivery. Each one of these two are things that are addressable by shipping discount. You can set it up so when buyers buy, for example, more than one item, you offer free shipping or a discount on that shipping rate. Or alternatively, if you already cannot discount further the shipping, but expedited shipping options, you can offer that as well as part of this shipping discount tool.
Pedro, I'm constantly talking about this tool because I run into a lot of sellers who've been on eBay for a long time, and they utilize and rely on a very old legacy tool that's called Offer Combined Shipping Discounts. And it's not modern, it's not effective, it's not the way people shop. And it involves actually having to go back and forth with a buyer with an invoice and then, you know, figure out the shipping. And you can eliminate all of those extra steps with the shipping discount promotions tool and provide shipping discounts up front for multiple purchases, and not just within one listing. You can extend this across a selected group of listings.
Yes, you can do a bit of a selection of the inventory as you can do for the other tools. You can select individual listings. You can filter by SKUs or go on certain categories that are customizable.
If you've been utilizing that old combined shipping discounts tool, consider using the new one. See how it works. I guarantee you, you're going to give up the old tool. It just doesn't work as well. Another one that's been around for a long time, it used to be called Markdown Manager. We changed that to Sale Events, I believe is what it's called.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that the complete name is Sale Event and Markdown. It really combines both of the names. This is the tool that you can use if you want to essentially run a sale across inventory. Let's say you want to really run a discount at 15% across a certain range of inventory, or in which you want to discount a certain dollar amount. This is really the tool to go. And once again, just like the others, you can select the time range in which you want to do it and also which inventory goes into it.
And I've used this for years when I'm having a sale. And one of the cool things, Pedro, that I love about the changes that we made to Markdown Manager when we renamed it as Sales Events and Markdowns is that it used to be when you had markdowns, there wasn't any place where you could go to see them all for one particular seller. Now with Sales Events, it's all on one page. There are promotional links that lead to that page so you can drive your customers to your sale event. Sort of in the same way that you do on an online retail site where they have a little link that says on sale or clearance, and it shows all that merchandise. The sale events page is the same thing. And it creates itself automatically based on what you select for merchandise that you're going to mark down. If you're interested in creating an end of the year clearance sale, this is the best tool you can use. What about codeless coupons? Those also have been around for a while, but I think there's still a lot of sellers that have questions about how they work. The term itself can be confusing, I think, to some of them.
This is really the tool that sellers can use if they have their own channels to reach out to their customers, or if they have a newsletter that they have subscribers to, or if they publish and announce a lot of things on social media. So essentially, really, the way it works is a way for sellers to create a unique URL that lands and offers specific promotions to buyers. So it is very similar to all the others that we spoke about, just as like order discounts or sale events. But the key difference is really that instead of it being available to everyone and on a non-targeted way, our sellers can use that specific and unique URL to embed in their content and really offer those promotions to a specific set of buyers.
Some sellers use the codeless coupon as a link in the collateral that they'll put into a package for a purchase to kind of entice them to come back and buy on discount, but just for them. And you can create numerous codeless coupons. I know in the past, whenever I've had somebody who's had to return an item, and it was definitely kind of a sad situation where it didn't work out, one of the ways to make them happy, if possible, is to offer them a codeless coupon. And I'll say, hey, sorry you had to return this item. You know, I'm happy to give you a refund, but here's a codeless coupon link that's just for you. And everything on this link, which tends to be my entire inventory, is 25% off just for you in case you see something else you want to buy. It makes the buyer feel good, and they feel like they've got their own private little sale. These are just a few of the promotional options that you have, or the main promotional options. There's another tool I'd love to talk about. It's not really a promotional tool, but I think it really fits in when you're trying to decide things like pricing and trends, and that's Terapi. Can you talk a little bit about how Terapi can assist a seller with their end-of-year promotions?
Just starting a little bit on exactly what TerraPeak is and what's the information that it gives to our sellers. It's really the place to go to see what are the trends and what are the average prices that a certain inventory is selling for, what is selling, what are the listings that are really performing well. It really gives all of this information. And I mean, not only on this time of the year, but year round. So something to really keep in mind. And specifically for now, one way to use it is really to see what is selling, and our sellers can go back. There is up to 1 year of data, so they can compare with last year to see what sells well in this time of the year and how it has been trending for the rest of the year. So really to analyze which pockets of inventory are selling well and what is not selling so well. And with this information at hand, also check the prices and actually really check, okay, for the inventory that they have and that they want to basically sell off, and comparing it with a going sales price, do they need to run promotions? Do they need to be really aggressive, or actually it's not something that is required because their prices are already competitive? So it's really to use that to understand what level of promotions they need to use for that inventory to sell.
So Pedro, the last thing I wanted to talk about is it's all well and good to set up promotions, but it's also important to know how they're doing and how do we track the efficacy of promotions using Seller Hub?
That's another resource that's part of the marketing tab in Seller Hub. It's really the promotions dashboard. So this is really the place to go to see what is selling from the promotional offers that are live on the account and which ones of those are performing well or performing not so well. And it's really where sellers can see everything that is active or that was paused, and it's really where you can go pause certain promotions, edit them, or even copy them to adjust and create a new one that is very similar, but you just want to change a little bit of the offer or edit a little bit of the inventory that you have there. So that's really the place to go. And you can also download that information to make it easier to digest and play with it and analyzing Excel. That's really the place to go.
Pedro, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and talking to us about these tools, especially this time of year. I know your team is really busy promoting and getting things ready for next year. Thanks again. I really appreciate you taking time to be with us on the podcast today.
Thank you, Griff, and thank you to all sellers.
We've been speaking with eBay Senior Product Manager Pedro Neto. We're going to put all of the links to each of the promotional tools that we referenced in this segment into our transcript for episode 120. You can find them, as we say all the time, at www.ebay.com/podcast. Locate the episode 120, click on it, and then click on the link for transcript. Linda Lightman created Linda's Stuff out of her home in 2000. It started as a simple hobby selling her son's video games on eBay, but recognizing a bigger market opportunity, Linda soon began to sell her own luxury designer goods in her eBay store. Soon, friends and acquaintances interested in reselling their own designer luxury goods approached Linda to sell for them. 16 years later, Linda's Stuff has grown into a $25 million business occupying a 93,000 square foot office space, focusing on the resale of authentic designer clothing, shoes, handbags, and accessories. Today, Linda's Stuff is one of the most successful consignment sellers of designer fashion on eBay. Welcome, Linda.
Hey, Griff. Thank you so much for having me. I met you years ago, and it's really like a privilege to be here. And thanks for that nice intro. It really means a lot.
I remember very well when we met. It was in Philadelphia during a PR event, and I think it was over 10 years ago. It was in the 2000s.
Oh, for sure. I remember standing. It was cold, probably this time of year, and we were standing on Market Street in Philadelphia. And eBay had like a trailer, and we were showing people how easy it is to sell on eBay.
That's right. I remember. And then we took a trip to your office, and I don't know if you're still in the same location you were back then. I seem to remember you being inside Philadelphia.
So we are outside of Philadelphia, and you said it. I started in my house, and I remember like it was a hobby. I didn't want to leave my house. And as the business grew, I realized we had to leave our home. And we moved to a 5,000 square foot warehouse when we first started selling. And I remember when I saw it, I was like, we're never going to outgrow this space. We'll be here forever. 2 years later, we outgrew that, moved to 12,000 square feet. 2 years later, 23,000 square feet. 5 years later, 58,000. And we expanded the 58,000. And now we're almost 100,000 square feet. And I've never looked back. You know, I took this leap with eBay 21 years ago, and the journey continues and we evolve every day.
How many employees do you have now, Linda?
Our high of employees was like 84, but COVID hit us like everybody and we lost some employees. We're ramping back up. That's been a challenge, trying to keep your workforce safe and pivoting your process so that you can keep people working from home and also in office and ensuring the safety of all employees.
Talked to a lot of sellers this year about the impact of the pandemic on their business. Overall, we know based on the numbers that the pandemic resulted in millions of new buyers coming online to shop because they were afraid to go out or they couldn't go out. But at the same time, businesses that were supplying this, especially at any great volume like your business, they couldn't have all those employees operating the business in one location. Did you see your business go up? And if it did, how did you handle that huge challenge?
Yeah, COVID is a challenge for so many people and so many people are hurting. And it's just the most difficult time that our country has ever faced, for sure. First and foremost, it was how do we keep everyone safe? And orders didn't stop. We didn't see sales drop in March. We saw them spike up. We wanted to fulfill the orders in the same speed that our buyers were used to, but we couldn't.
Yeah.
We needed to make sure that our employees were safe. And in March, you know, we didn't know anything about the virus. Everyone was learning together. So we quickly came up with a process. We made our warehouse into zones. We kept teams of people together, kind of like a bubble. And buyers were really patient. They understood that while they're used to fast and free shipping with Linda Stuff that we ship within 24 hours normally, that when COVID hit, buyers understood that, hey, we need to take a little time here. We need to make sure that everyone is safe. And I felt like the eBay community really came together with that level of understanding. We came up with a process by which we could have people list from home. We could have people photograph from home. And yet in 100,000 square feet, we figured how many people could we safely have here? And I commend my team. I used to say I was most proud of the process that we developed at Linda Stuff, but now I'm most proud of my team and how everyone reacted to this pandemic together.
Now we're going into the holiday season, so sales don't stop, but you've got that operational process in place where you can meet buyers' demands and at the same time keep your employees safe.
We're a consignment business, as you know. And when I first started the business, it was selling for people like you and me, Griff. It was like stuff that we all had. As the business grew, it wasn't just individuals like us. It became stores. It became manufacturers. It became designers. And the pandemic, in a sense, has been great for our business because more people are home cleaning out their closets, deciding, hey, I don't need this. This doesn't spark joy for me, or, you know, all this excess is ridiculous. And then sadly, we're helping out a lot of retailers who didn't have an internet, an online presence or a footprint, and they had merchandise left over from March that they couldn't sell because their doors were shut. We're really helping them sell those brand new items. What started out as all pre-owned is now really a mixture of half and half, new products and pre-owned, and everything is authenticated. And that's a key factor. I mean, I could talk on and on about our business, and the passion that I feel for what I do is just incredible. But we're seeing such a spike in getting in merchandise, which is great. And we're seeing a spike in buyers in the eBay community, just really coming out and supporting small businesses like us.
Now, when I first visited your operations back, how many years ago? We don't even remember. Years ago it was.
We don't remember.
I have a lasting image in my head, and I think you may know what it is. But it was just row after row, stack upon stack of black garbage bags. Do you remember this? And if so, do you still operate that way?
We use bins. Everything is in bins. And everything has a barcode. And everything has evolved into a process that is bar none. And, you know, when somebody consigns, everything is trackable to their tracking number because we pay. If you wanted to consign, you call our office or you just go online and you set up an account. And then you can set up a complimentary UPS pickup, or we send you UPS labels. And everything ties to that tracking number that we created with UPS for you. And then when we get your goods, we create barcodes and we scan everything, and everything is trackable. And all your stuff is connected to your account. And that's how we pay you. It's really quite incredible.
Now, with a system like that, I would imagine you have a lot of repeat consigners.
We do. We feel very fortunate that people come back year after year after year.
Yeah, I know my own shopping habits, which I tend to look for designer and high-end stuff mostly. But then if I get rid of some of it, I take that money and go buy more. So it's an endless cycle of me putting too much stuff in the closet, taking it out and selling it, putting too much back. I'm assuming that that really helps your business.
Well, that's our mission, right? Like that whole sense of fashion sustainability, that idea of we buy, reuse, resell. And I love that. I mean, I feel like we're doing good for our economy, that whole sense of reuse, resell. We also have a tremendous amount of repeat buyers. And we have as many, if not more, repeat buyers as we do consigners.
Of course. Do those buyers ever re-consign stuff back to you, though?
Oh, yeah. We love when buyers are consigners and when consigners are buyers. That's what we want.
Sounds like eBay.
Exactly. Just on a smaller scale.
Do you ever turn things down? And if so, why?
We do. You know, I like to think that I was the pioneer in this vertical of consignment.
Sure.
You know, before me, there was no ThredUp or Poshmark or any of these other sites that have really popped up over the years doing what we do. And I've always just stayed in my lane and never like sat and looked back at like, oh, this one's chasing me and this one's chasing me. We do what we do and we do it well.
You've grown to be, starting in 2000, 2001, from just, you know, selling a few things to a $25 million business. Are you planning on growing more? And if so, what are the challenges that you're going to face?
So I'm trying to grow every day. COVID did definitely pose some limitations on that in terms of staffing. We are hiring for our warehouse. But again, you know, we take a pause. We take a step back. We say, okay, if we hire this many people, how can we safely put them in? And until the vaccine comes out and until we know that everyone can be safe, we put a brake on how many people we can safely accommodate in our office.
How has eBay changed as a platform for you over the years?
I hitched my wagon to eBay almost 21 years ago. And while I never look back, there are definitely challenges. And one challenge was early on Vero. So I don't know if you know this, I used to be a lawyer, and there is no democratic process in the Vero process.
No, it's absolutely, personally, I find it horrific. That's a law that needs to be rewritten.
Exactly. A rights owner will come on and say, hey, you Linda's stuff, that item isn't authentic. So despite the fact that we had it authenticated by our professional authenticators, they're saying, no, back it up, girl. That's not real. Okay, now I have to spend my time sending additional pictures, emailing, letting them know. And I hope your listeners are hearing this because it's a challenge for a small seller and a big seller. And I have to go on and show them why it's authentic. And I want to say to all your listeners, fight the fight when it comes to a Vero issue. Don't just let it sit. Respond to it. The issue is that the rights owner doesn't necessarily have to reply.
Yeah, they don't.
And I am tenacious. I will email them and write second request, third request. I have gone so far as to call corporate headquarters of some of these rights owners, and I've had a winning record because if they're making a mistake and they end something in error, they need to rectify it. The challenge is that a seller is seen guilty before they're given an opportunity to say, hey, you're wrong and here's why. That's been an issue for me always.
Yeah.
Fast and free shipping. You know, at first I remember thinking, oh, how could I offer free shipping when eBay was thinking that, this is like years ago,
yeah.
eBay was thinking that was the be all and end all. And I went to free shipping and, you know, it was the best decision we made. It was the right decision. So that was something that I felt like eBay made a recommendation. And it was spot on. The other issue that I would say is a challenge is that eBay changes a lot. You know that these are the metrics that they want you to get to, and you kind of get to the goalpost, and then they say, we're going to raise that just a little bit.
Oh, I know.
But they're good changes. They force us to do better, to be better. And so there's a positive and a negative side to that.
For eBay, on the eBay end, it's been interesting and fascinating to watch because we've had to grow as the idea of online shopping has grown. I think we've gotten better at that over time, but still, you know, running a business is hard enough, but then running a business in conjunction with a platform like eBay can also present its own challenges and rewards. I want to be fair.
Exactly. Big rewards. So they bring to me 178 million unique worldwide buyers. That's an audience that I can't find anywhere else. And the eBay buyer is a smart, savvy buyer. They know what they're looking for. They're price conscious. They know what they want. And there's no platform like it. There's no marketplace like eBay. Obviously, I'm a big eBay cheerleader. I want to see eBay grow. And so when you ask me about my growth, it's very much tied to eBay's growth. And eBay's doing great. I mean, we're kicking butt right now.
Yeah, I agree. We are kicking butt. We've got a whole new army of new buyers who will stick around and buy from Linda's stuff.
And I hope they'll consign too.
Yes, consign as well. And Linda makes it really easy to consign because I went to your eBay store and you're searching for consignments right there. So all you have to do if you want to consign stuff to Linda is just call them up, let them know. And I guess they can ship the merchandise to you.
We pay for it.
You pay for it?
We do. So if you wanted to consign, we'd want to vet you just to make sure that the items that you're... And you asked me that question. And actually, if we don't mind going back, I didn't answer it. You asked if there were things that we didn't take.
Yeah.
And so... We want to take a great breadth of inventory. I want to take anything from your Lululemon, which sells amazing, has a cult following on eBay, your Lululemon to your Louis Vuitton. But yet I recognize that there are some things that don't sell super well online in resale. So there are brands that we don't take just because, you know, as you said, it's a lot of work getting your items here, going through it, making sure condition is good, listing it, photographing it, warehousing it. So we want to make sure that there's a resale value. So anything from Louis Vuitton to high end, but we don't want to cherry pick. We want to take the greatest breadth of inventory that we can, and we want to help people make money.
When you say greatest breadth, by the way, have you moved beyond just clothing, shoes, and accessories? Do you take other sort of merchandise?
So we do watches, we do jewelry, we do home goods, but not furniture. And home goods are things that have that discernible designer name. Because when people are searching on eBay, they're not just searching for, quote, designer that doesn't have a label. They're searching for Rosenthal or Lalique or Tiffany or Louis Vuitton. So if there's no tag, typically we won't take it just because it's hard to sell your really cute black dress. It needs to have some sort of discernible designer associated with it, if that makes sense.
Linda, if you had to give one piece of advice to an eBay seller, but either experienced or just starting out right now, who may be a little frustrated with their sales, what would you tell them?
I would say eBay has offered so many great tools to help increase your sales. So I would say look to eBay, whether it's promoted listings, whether it's best offer, or eBay came out with, I think this is my, I'm a biggest cheerleader for this. eBay came out with a tool called Send Buyer's Offer. So if there are people watching your item, and let's say you have it priced at $59, I could send you an offer on a particular item that you're watching, and I could do it as a percent. I could do it as a dollar value off, however you choose, and it really converts in sales for buyers. Look to the way that eBay is giving you opportunities to promote your listings to the promotions manager or offers. I think there's some really great opportunities.
I have to agree with you there. As a buyer, yeah, those offers, they empty my wallet. So, Linda, I really appreciate you taking time. I know it's really busy out there in Pennsylvania right now with the business. I know you'll continue to be a success. You'll probably be moving into a 200,000 square foot warehouse soon enough.
I hope so. That would be great. Well, I love speaking with you, and it's really great to see you again. We can't see each other in person, but maybe soon.
Maybe soon. I haven't been traveling in a long time, so I'm looking forward to trips.
And yeah.
It'd be fun to come back out to the East Coast, especially to Pennsylvania, and see your new operation. We can take pictures and talk about it on the podcast.
I would love that.
Linda Lightman sells on eBay under the user ID Linda Stuff. We'll put the links to her eBay store on the transcript for episode 120.
You got questions?
We've got answers. Oi, do we have answers?
What's this week's first question, Griff?
It comes from eBay seller Linda, who mailed us at podcast@ebay.com. Why don't we both take this one because it's a long one. You start.
Sure thing. So Linda writes, how do you submit a program change recommendation to the eBay technical board?
I love that, the eBay technical board. We should be on that if it existed.
I work for a collector who sells his collection on eBay, and the problem below is a frequent occurrence, specifically when a winning bid is canceled by the buyer, causing the seller to absorb the loss, time, effort, money. It seems like a simple program change to automatically make the next bidder the winning bidder.
Linda continues, this has happened several times, and I know the workaround is for the buyer to make a request and then the seller finishes the action by canceling the bid and attributing it to buyer cancellation, quote unquote. Has this issue ever been looked into? Linda asks. I can't imagine that it hasn't. But I also understand the repercussions of buyers knowing they can just cancel so easily. Of course, if a buyer cancels, he should know that a note will be automatically placed in his or her buyer history, and it would say that they are a frequent winning bid canceller. This is signed by Linda Killman. Gee, what a wonderful idea.
It is a wonderful idea. So, Linda, you're in luck. There is a feature in place. It's been there since, I believe, 1998, called Second Chance Offer that does exactly what you recommend. A Second Chance Offer gives you the opportunity to make a sale to bidders who didn't win your auction. That's with awesome. The Second Chance Offer, a non-winning bidder gets the chance to buy the item at a price equal to their last bid. You can make second chance offers up to 60 days after an auction ends. It's free to make an offer, but if the buyer accepts, you pay a final value fee.
Right. And Linda, you can use second chance offer for lots of situations. For example, when your winning bidder doesn't pay and you've already tried to resolve the issue with them, or if you put a reserve price on your auction and it wasn't met and people bid, but they didn't get it because the reserve wasn't met, or if you have more of the same item available for sale. And in a few eBay Motors and business and industrial categories, you can actually specify the offer price as long as it's less than or equal to the item's reserve price. Yeah.
How do you make a second chance offer for an auction format listing that is ended? Well, Linda, it's easy. Here's how. Find your listing in either My eBay Selling Activity or Seller Hub. 2, select second chance offer from more actions and then continue. And then the third step, select the quantity of items you have to sell, the duration of the offer, and the bidders you want to send the offers to. Then select continue.
eBay will then email a second chance offer or offers to the bidders you've selected. Now, keep in mind that this is a buyer's choice whether or not to accept the offer. They can just ignore it. and your offer expires if the bidder doesn't respond within the duration you choose. So those are things to keep in mind. So Linda, we hope that that answered your question. Isn't it lovely when you ask for something on the podcast and it's handed to you immediately?
Well, it's a great question. And obviously, every auction seller who's been around has had a similar desire to do exactly what Linda wants to do.
Right. And some newer sellers who haven't been on the site as long may not know that this feature is right there waiting for them to use. We want you to make a sale. So if you are unfortunate enough to have an auction end on eBay and the high bidder reneges, well, not a nice feeling, but if you're willing to take the next bid, you can always make that offer to that bidder. And if they agree, bingo, a sale. You didn't have to relist it. You didn't have to spend more time and pull out more hair. It's really fast and easy. Now, our next question was actually sent to us as an audio file from an eBay buyer in the UK.
I like these.
Is that great? In fact, I'm going to start encouraging people to send audio files if they don't want to call us on the phone. This worked out really well. So let's listen to what Sean sent us.
Hi there. This is Sean from the UK. I recently purchased an item on eBay where I don't have an eBay account. So I bought it as a guest. It was a car part and I need to send it back. But now every time I try to order a return, it gives me very few options. And whenever I try to do it, they ask me to create an account. I've got a problem with the doing the account, because if I turn my account into a full eBay account, I think I'm going to lose my guest slots. Can you help in any way?
Okay, there it is.
Well, Griff, I know the answer to this one, so can I respond?
Yeah, knock yourself out.
So, Sean, when you checked out as a guest, you would have received an email with your purchase confirmation. And it would have included an access code and a link for you to use if you need to do anything post-transaction. For example, return an item. So look for that email and follow the instruction, and you should be fine.
Wow, that's easy. Unless you lost the email, or if you, as Sean mentioned, confirmed the guest account into an official account. Because in either situation, Brian, Sean would be stuck. The purchase will stay on the guest level of the account, but Sean won't be able to see it. So if that's the case, or if you deleted the initial purchase confirmation email, you'd need to contact customer support for assistance, and they will straighten it out for you.
I guess it's contact customer support, and the way you do that is by clicking help and contact and the contact link on the top of any eBay page.
Yeah, but Sean, first check for the email. I bet you still have it. Brian, that's all the questions we have for this week.
If you have any pressing questions you would like us to address, call us on 888-723-4630.
Right. And by pressing, we don't mean we're going to iron your clothes. But anyway, it's 888-723-4630. We love to get phone calls. Or, as Sean did, you could record your question as an audio file on your end, and you can send it to us at podcast@ebay.com as an attachment.
But if you're not a call on the phone person, or you're not quite sure how to record an audio file on your end, don't fret. You can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Now it's that time in the show when we talk about your daily podcast to-do list. You know most of these, but get your pencil out.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Put together your end-of-the-year sales plan and put it into action now while you have time.
Check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, we'll announce the winners of the Holiday Hustle Sweepstakes. Kirsty Dunn will come back for that. And we'll read some of the best posts that sellers submitted for that contest. And we should mention here that next week will be our last podcast episode for 2020.
Boy, that was a quick year.
Yeah.
We'll be taking the last 2 weeks of the year off to focus on holidays.
And to put together some great content ideas for 2021. So don't miss next week's episode 121.
We'd like to again thank our guests this week, Pedro Neto from eBay's product marketing team and Linda Lightman of Linda Stuff.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn Podcast 411.